Welcome to the My Magazine podcast, where we talk about everything from pop culture to trending topics. I'm your host, Imani, and today we'll be interviewing Miss Dionne Ford. Miss Dionne Ford is a makeup and beauty extraordinaire, honey. She is Miss Lisa Nicole Cloud's makeup artist, and she is the head of the makeup and hair department for the Miss Georgia Earth pageant. Miss Dionne Ford will be talking all things beauty and hair as we discuss how we can change the lack of diversity in the beauty industry. And she also tells us her favorite Black-owned beauty products. So if you're interested, make sure you tune in for more. We are now being joined by Miss Dionne Ford. How are you, Dionne?
I am doing great, Imani, and thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Of course we had to have you on. So, how did you develop your love for the artistry of makeup?
Well, I will say that it's something that I feel I was born with. When I look at my dad's sisters, very glamorous women, really into just their overall look, from the hair to the makeup to the nails. You know, back in the day, they had the fur coats and they drove the Cadillacs and the Jaguars. Like,
yes.
My aunts, they're really jazzy women, and they did big things, you know. It's just two of them left, my Aunt Marie and my Aunt Patricia, but I learned a lot from them. I know the love of cosmetology, especially hair and makeup, comes from, like, my Aunt Toni, my Aunt Marie, because I can look at pictures of them where it's literally like, wow, my version of makeup, my technique is like the 2020 version versus what they did back in the day. It almost kind of mirrors each other. It's really kind of funny, but my mom is definitely not into it. She has nice skin. She's into hair. She's into natural hair. And, you know, she would just put on, what was that foundation that they used to have back in the day? That Fashion Fair, and honey, a little bit of that lipstick, and just keep going.
Yes, Fashion Fair.
Yeah.
So how did you transition into working with celebrity clientele? How was that journey for you?
Well, I guess, you know, when I think about myself, you know, my desire has always been to be the best at what I do and work with the best. And that's in any industry. You know, I want to be sought after by businesses and individuals who love and respect my talent, my work ethic, my professionalism, you know, people who value me and see my worth and are willing to pay my price point, no questions asked. Like, you have to really know your worth and add taxes to it. And when it comes to just working with the everyday working woman, mm-hmm. I enjoy that. And I also enjoy working with or working on set or working in more of what would be considered, for some people, I think maybe like more of a high stress or maybe high volume, or, you know, you don't have all day to do it. So you have to do it within a certain allotment of time. It just really, I don't know, it kind of lights the fire up under me to just be on top of things, be on top of my game, master my skills and my craft so that I can move a little bit faster, but not only move fast, but also be, you know, doing very well. Obviously, you know, you have to do a little bit of both. So you have to move fast and you have to know what you're doing. And I don't know, it really just caused me to step my game up. It's something about the celebrity clientele. I know what I bring to the table as far as skills and professionalism, and I bring a superior customer service. So I just feel like I should be able to work with the best. Not meaning that the best can't just be, again, the everyday working woman, because I want someone who loves me, loves what I do, and just respects what I do. But I've always seen myself working with someone of a little bit higher caliber, I think, because maybe I've always seen myself as a star as well. So I feel like I need to be with the stars.
Right.
And look, I can only be myself. That's what it is. It came out. So that's me. That's how I feel.
And I know you mentioned about respecting your craft. So what about your profession do you think people might find surprising?
I think people think it's a cakewalk. Oh, you just wake up and do makeup. And it's a little bit more than that. You know, as far as your character, you have to be diligent. You have to be sociable. You have to be poised. You have to have a tenacious spirit about you, because it's very competitive. you have to be compassionate about what you do, and you have to be compassionate for others. For one, again, working on set, and a lot of times working with a lot of these celebrities, you're going to be in that area where you're going to be working on them before they get there. So it's up for you to set the tone, set the energy, if you will, for the room. You know, whether that's coming in with a little bit of aromatherapy, let me spray a little bit of lemon verbena over here, or let me, you know, light a candle, you know, just to get a different smell, just to get a different energy going.
Right.
Let me turn on some jazz or some meditative music, just so they can be in a more relaxed state. Because you got to think, you're dealing with people who probably got a million things in their mind, business-wise, as well as personal. So, you know, as massage artists, as hairstylists, as cosmetologists, you know, we are healers. We have, you know, the power of touch. And when you think about those things and you think about working with the client, you just want to make sure that your energy is a relaxed energy and that you are only adding positive, not adding negative, and that you, and that the energy of the room and that your energy is a good energy. So it's more than just coming and painting war paint on people, you know. You have to be balanced. You have to be responsive, you know. You have to be precise in your craft. And you wanna be influential, you know. So,
right. Yeah, that made perfect sense. And I love that you said that, you know, it's more than just, you know, putting makeup on their faces. I love that you said that you create like an atmosphere. I mean, that's amazing with candles and everything. Not a lot of people think of that. And that is just amazing.
You know, even when I think about just showing up, you know, when you're on time, you're late. So,
right.
You know, you want to be there 15, 20 minutes early. If I can be there 30 minutes early, if I don't have another client, if I can go ahead and get there, the people let me in, I'm going to come in there. Because if I'm rushed, the energy, the touch, I am transferring that rush energy, that anxiety over to my client who has to get in front of the camera, who has to, you know, speak in front of however many people, or who may just be about to go do a photo shoot and they need to feel relaxed. They don't need to look tense in their pictures.
Right.
So it's so much more that goes into it. I think this is where it comes down to loving what you do. Do you really love what you do? Is this just a little side hustle and you still have like your 9 to 5, or is this something that you, and there's nothing wrong with that either, because even if you do that, it still needs to be a certain approach that you take. But do you love what you do? Do you love what you do to the point where, you know, you're so meticulous, you're so conspicuous in how you move and the things that you do?
Right. And with the recent call to action, you know, on police brutality and the systematic racism that's in America, racial injustices everywhere, it's really shined a light on problems in all different type of areas, every background, every work condition, especially in the beauty industry. So how can we fix the lack of diversity in the beauty industry? Like, what can we do as consumers, as, you know, artists, all of that?
Well, that's definitely a layered question, and I'm going to have to layer the answer. So I will say, you know, hey, but I love it. You know, God's favor, in my opinion, it trumps white privilege any day. You know, you have to use these situations where we encounter white supremacy and discriminatory treatment as catalysts for growth and expansion. And, you know, hey, the people who employ us, you know, sometimes they are exposed by the different things that they do, you know. And if God is removing different people from our lives for whatever reason, these are teachable moments. And, you know, what's the next best course of action for us individually? You know, I think about this issue that was going on with, I think that was Tia and Tamera, one of the Mari twins, something with the reel or something about them not being on, something about it not them, okay, the magazine or something not selling by them not being on the cover.
Right. I do remember that, yes.
You know what I mean? So you use that for growth and expansion, you know. Had they not done that, you know, maybe that would have not allowed something else to transfer. Because obviously when things like that happen, those are turning points. You know, something else great is definitely going to happen for them. And then sometimes when these different things happen to us, it pushes us to create something even better. I will say, when you think about diversity, you know, in every industry, you know, this is just the way the U.S. is set up. It is kind of like that. If it's not discriminatory from a racial standpoint, it's discriminatory just from a sexual standpoint, just male to female. So it's like you're always dealing with something. It's, you know, something is always dominant.
Right.
And I believe that diversity in the film industry is all about reaching back once you reach a certain pinnacle of success. And sometimes it's about starting your own and bringing others who believe in you or you believe in. Sometimes you have to create what you want to be a part of. So, you know, it's all about that reach back, you know. You get put in a certain position, then you reach back and you bring others who you know will come and show face the right way and make you proud and make themselves proud and represent the culture. And then sometimes it's about, again, just starting your own thing. Like, we have so many new and upcoming female African-American producers, directors, right, executive producers that are making some big things happen. For one that I know particularly is Shante Page. And she came from the music industry. She was an A&R and VP for Sony Music, left that and pretty much bossed up and started her own. She is a movement, which is her business, her production company. And she's actually working on a show. This is her second season now that I'll be working with her on, Beyond the Pole, which is about basically exotic dancers here in the Atlanta area that, you know, everyone has a story and that they're moving on, trying to transition out of that world into being entrepreneurs, into being women of business. And it just kind of shows the different stories of some of the different people out here, because, you know, there's so many different stereotypes that just go with that, that you kind of put them in that category and that's it. So she's shining light on that. And she gives women of color opportunities, you know, whether it's being a showrunner, whether it's being people that work, different people that work on set, hair and makeup, you know. It's very diverse. So she's just an example. And there's a lot of other producers down here that are doing the same things too, that are women, you know, that are African-American. So it's about reaching back or starting your own, because think about Tyler Perry. He started his own.
Right.
He started his own. And now everyone's looking to him.
Yes, they most definitely are. And I love your answer to that question. You know, we most definitely all have to, you know, give people opportunities and reach back, you know, to make changes. But I specifically want to talk about the atmosphere on set. I know outside of the Atlanta scene, you know, many actresses such as Asia D of the Bold Type, she's outed her show and other sitcoms for their lack of diversity in hair and makeup. She specifically said the BIPOC, which is Black and Indigenous People of Color. And Tisha Martin also went on The Real and talked about her horrible experience with a hairstylist that she overheard her saying black hair, you know, she hates doing black hair, and she referred to it being similar to pubic hair and all that kind of stuff. So, which is horrible. But do you feel like, since they have outed, you know, the industry outside of Atlanta, per se, you know, do you think that that is going to spark change? And have there been instances where you have been the only woman of color at an important gig?
Well, change definitely comes down to just one person speaking out.
Right.
You know, that can create that spark, that can create, you know, that fire. And, you know, women of that magnitude, like the different actresses that you named, those are the ones that can actually make a difference. But again, how do we make that change? How do we make a difference? It's going to take more people stepping up, stepping out. It's going to take people like, I think, even Regina Bell. She's Regina King. Girl, don't say Regina Bell. I know we had left. Regina King.
It's okay.
She's doing some big things, you know what I mean? And just just about not forgetting where you came from. Like, even when she, I think, just accepted her award not too long ago. Was that at the Emmys or something? She had, like, the Breonna Taylor shirt on. Things like that to show that, you know, I might have this going on, and I may be a part of this society, and I might be in this financial bracket, but I ain't forgot where I came from. I still stand for this. What's right is right. What's wrong is wrong. It's going to take more people standing up, and it's going to take people starting their own. You got to start your own. When you start your own and, you know, the money follows, you know who and everybody else, they're watching. And
right.
So they're like, you know what, we're going to have to make a more diverse hair and makeup team so that, you know, we can do this, that, and the other. And we have, you know, it's just, you have to start your own and you have to speak out. And that's the only way that a change will be made. I think it's a lot of changes that's going to come in the coming months, in the coming years, just because nothing stays the same anyway. Nothing lasts forever, good or bad. So, yeah, things have to change. And as far as me working on set and me maybe being the only person of color, I have no issue with that, I guess, because I'm so secure in who I am. I guess you just have to just kind of be a good person overall, because I truly do believe that people genuinely are good people. I don't care what race or cultural background, wherever you come from.
Right.
People are generally good people. So for me, it comes down to respect. You may or may not like me for whatever reason. You probably don't know me. You may judge me, but the way that I put myself out there and the work that I produce and my professionalism is going to make you respect me. And that's really all I desire anyway at the end of the day. And I'm multifaceted when it comes to hair. I love all different types of hair. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes I think that, I mean, to be completely honest, when you're doing hair that's more so limp and just falls, it's hard to hold a curl.
Right.
You have to go through, you know, more issues trying to do that. But then you have the others who don't know how to take that 4C hair and really kind of mold it to where it kind of stays straight. Or, you know, practice makes perfect. You know, you may have to go back to the drawing board. You know what I mean? That's why they have YouTube University, and that's why they have different apprenticeship out here. Because guess what? Learning doesn't stop in school. So if you went to Aveda or Paul Mitchell and pretty much all they worked on was that one wig head, so it seems like you're doing more of an Asian or Caucasian or European style hair, you need to go back to the drawing board. You need to make sure as a professional, you know how to do, and this is truly what you're going to do, and especially if you're working on set, you need to be able to do all types of hair, you know. If you go to the blow dry bar,
right,
they're pretty much doing one style, one type of hair, you know, as far as the texture. But there are going to be those stitches that come in there with natural hair. Do you have to pass them on to the next person, or are you engulfed enough in your industry to where you know how? Oh, okay. I'm going to take on this challenge, and I'm going to lay her hair. We're going to lay this hair straight, you know. Rise to the occasion, you know. I don't understand. So it is what I guess everyone kind of looks at it different. To me, I want to know how to do all of it, just like I want to, even when it comes to makeup, you know, for me and doing the makeup. Everyone's skin is different. Everyone's skin type is different. Everyone has different features. And it's about you mastering that, you know, different nose structures, different eye structure, you know, the eyebrows, you know, the cheekbone structure, you know, the lips are a certain way, you know. Some people's face, you know, the eyes are a little bit more maybe like sunken in. Some's really kind of, they protrude out. So do you know what type of makeup to use in the corner of the eye if the eye is already very pronounced so that it can be a little bit more subtle? Do you know how to bring the eye, or how can I say it, show the eye brighter? If they're a little bit more closed off, or if you have that hooded, what do you call it, eye, you know, or lid, if you will. This is studying. Because, again, we're not going to learn this stuff in school.
Right.
So, and this is what, separates one artist from the next, one hairstylist from the next. And that's all I can say. You know, I go a little bit deeper with mine because I want to understand it all the way across the board, you know. Yeah. So,
and I love that answer. I love that you are really putting an emphasis on continuing to improve on your craft and continuing to learn all you can, because some people are definitely comfortable with just sticking to, you know, that mannequin type hair or whatever that they're used to, because believe me, I've definitely had some horrible experiences in the hair salon, but you know, we eventually got it right. So I love that answer. Continue education. So, but you know, it is 2020, and would it be unprofessional for an actress or anyone or a model to bring their own hairstylist or makeup person if they feel more comfortable, you know, I don't, like, regarding hair, their hair texture or their face? Would that be considered unprofessional?
I don't feel that it's unprofessional, especially if you let whoever's in charge, let them know ahead of time, and they've already prepped the other person, because whoever that is, they have to feel comfortable in their look. They have to be confident, and you don't know what you're walking into. I have clients who go on set all the time, hair and makeup is already provided, and they say, no, I already have my makeup artist. One client I'm thinking about in particular, she's a minister. Her name is Fanny Nguyen. And she is so funny. I mean, whatever she does, she wants to bring me along, period. Because it's just like, girl, look, I don't know who's going to be there. I need my makeup artist to be there with me. She wants her hair people to be. And that's why you have a team, because they know what to do to make you feel the way that you need to feel and look the way that you need to look. And, you know, that can really be a deterrent in whatever it is that that person is, you know, coming in for that day.
Right.
But their hair and makeup is not on point, and that's not cool at all. And this is why it's so important for continuing education for the hair and makeup, because you never know who's coming on set, who's going to be there, who you're going to be working with. And even if it's just an afro, knowing what to do to that afro so that it can just, you know, she can have that soul sister look, you know. It is not up there looking dry, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I know what to do.
So there it is, ladies. You definitely can bring your own hair and makeup artist. Do not be afraid.
Absolutely. Because you don't know who's going to be there.
Right. You don't want to be looking like, you know, there were several mistakes.
With hair and makeup. Thank you.
And so, Dion, you know, Sephora has recently updated, you know, their customers and everything, that they are going to be promoting more Black-owned beauty products. So what are your favorite Black-owned beauty brands and hair and makeup? What are your go-to choices?
I think it's pronounced Briogeo. Mm-hmm. And I learned about that company, Briogeo. Learned about that company when I was working in Sephora, and this woman basically took her grandmother's recipe, handcrafted it into her own, and, you know, put it out there, and celebrities love her product. Really good leave-in conditioners, really good shampoos.
That's amazing.
Really good hair serums. I also love Tracee Ellis Ross's line pattern. You're talking about, I'm really big on like smells and like that aromatherapy, and all of her products, they smell wonderful. You know, she's really meticulous about the type of ingredients that, you know, she's adding in there, you know, no sulfates, no paraben, all that stuff makes a difference. As far as cosmetics, I love Juvia's Place. The way that the foundation just really melts into the skin, and all the different tones and hues that she has for not only women of just African American, but even like Latin American and just people of any race. I think she's done a really good job at creating a line that is diverse, that everyone can use, And but if our it is particularly good for you know, African American skin,
right?
Especially, you know, another good one is Black Opal. I don't think they were always owned by African Americans, but these two Black women entrepreneurs just took back over the company. So that's an amazing thing. You know, they've been serving women of color for over 25 years, and they have, and that company has now been acquired by two Black women entrepreneurs. So that's an amazing thing. And I think even like Black Radiance, even though they were right now, they're with a European-owned company, they are going to be going back over into the Black community. I think there's some people that's already looking into, just because everything that they do as far as even the way that they market and target everything, it's just, you know, African Americans. So it needs to be owned by African Americans. So still love Black Radiance. I know they're gonna come back over to this side at some point. Black Opal, because they got some really good foundation sticks. I mean, you can go on Amazon, $7 between like $8 and $13, you can get one of their foundation sticks. I mean, it's worth just buying a few of them in shades that are close to your color just to kind of use them. It doesn't take a whole lot. I think they're even better to use like in the fall and summer months. Just get a nice little beauty blender sponge. I like the, what is that, the Technique sponge? I think it's called Technique or Beauty by Technique. Get those sponges. You don't have to look. You don't have to pay $20 for that beauty blender. It's not even worth it, girl. Then it's so small.
No. It's not worth it.
You know, you start washing it to get it, you know, the way that it needs to be, and sanitize it and trying to get the bacteria and whatever's in it, the foundation, you know, it starts clumping off and little piece of it starts falling off. Like, I like the Technique sponge because it's a little bit more durable. It's bigger. And, you know, I can use them for longer and just let them air dry. They're perfect. But you wet that, you don't even have to wet it. It could still be even a little dry. Just squeeze it a little bit, and then you just kind of take that foundation stick after you moisturize and prime the skin and just do, maybe do like little Indian stripes on both cheeks, maybe one across the forehead, one on the chin, and just kind of get them blended and blend all that out really smoothly. And that Black Opal looks really good. Even if you just want to use it for like a contour stick, you know, it works. I think it's really good for women who don't wear a lot of makeup, but sometimes, you know, they just want a little something on their face just to even out the skin tone. Those Black Opal foundation sticks are really good, and they've been around forever. But, of course, we always set with powder, so you got to set it, you know, whether it's like a colorless translucent powder, or even something with a little bit of color to it, if you want that. But you got to set it, because sometimes like we think we can just kind of put on some foundation and go. No, you got to set it, because if not, the oil from your pores will come through, and that's when you start getting like that shininess, and
that's what
you don't want.
Yes. Thank
Quick
you for...
Quick little makeup tip in here.
Yes, yes. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for... that amazing list of products. I'll be sure to be putting that on my Christmas list for this year.
Yes, honey. That Tracy Ellis Ross and that Briogeo is everything. And Juvia's Place has some really good cosmetics.
Thank you. So I want to jump over into some of your accomplishments that you have been really busy working on. I want to give a big congratulations to you on becoming the director of hair and makeup for the Miss Georgia Earth pageant. Tell us a little bit about how... You're welcome. Tell us a little bit about how that opportunity came about for you.
Well, Onika Blaze gave me the opportunity, and she's the executive director. She's actually over Miss Georgia Earth, Miss Florida Earth now, Miss South Carolina Earth, and Miss Tennessee Earth. She comes from a background of pageants. Her daughter is just amazing and gorgeous herself. She was in the pageant world, you know. She has a younger daughter, too, and you can just tell, like, she's like a little beauty queen in training. You know, these women are beautiful inside and out, and I actually met her through my client, Lisa Nicole. I've worked with Lisa Nicole Cloud so much, I've just been privy to be a part, just to be in the room with so many different people, all walks of life, all, how can I say it, all to be well-respected in their own life and whatever field that they're in, just people just that are just doing big things, as well as, like, different celebrities. But anyway, Onika was, it was actually one, it was a conference. It was a conference, I think, that Lisa was having. Mm-hmm. I did her makeup. I wasn't able to attend. Onika was there. She saw the makeup, and she asked, who did your makeup? So she told her. She reached out to me on Facebook, and that was pretty much history, you know. That's how it happened. And this is my third year now working with them. And it's amazing because I'm able to bring in my own people. Like we say, start your own thing. You know what I mean? You can hear the stuff. You can run it. So, hey, I bring in my hair people. Obviously, you know, I'm killing it with the makeup. If, you know, depending on how many girls book with us, because, you know, we're not a third party. We are part of it. Mm-hmm. But still at the same time, let's just say a contestant wants to bring her own hair and makeup. By all means, they're going to bring their own hair and makeup. But if they book with us, hey, they book with the best. And, you know, we're going to bring it. And
right.
that's what we do, you know. That's what we do. But Onika Blaze, she gave me that opportunity. And she's the executive director. So, again, it's just about having those relationships and being around good people that are facilitators that don't mind, you know, you meeting other people, you working with other people, you gaining success. You know, and Lisa Nicole is definitely one of those people. That's some of the reason why she's so successful. So, yeah.
Right. That is so amazing. That's so important to not, like you said, not be afraid to share your connections.
Okay.
That's yeah, how you get your blessings.
I'm sorry to cut you off there. But you know, there are some people out here who really do think that you getting ahead some kind of way is going to push them back.
Oh, and my goodness, yes.
That's really not the way that the universe works, because I think about it from a standpoint of just having your hand open to give, having your hand open to receive. When you're giving, your hand is also open to receive. So, you know, you've given of your time, you've given of your resources. It's only going to come back to you tenfold. So, I don't know. It's about having the right mindset with that. And sometimes the reason why you're brought, you may meet a person and you may meet someone else. And the whole reason for you all meeting is just to be the link. Just be the link sometimes.
Right.
So, yeah, it's crazy.
I completely agree with that. And I was saying, you know, that's absolutely how you get your blessings in life, by helping others. It's not going to deter you from your journey. It's going to add to it. So that is amazing. I'm so glad that Miss Lisa Nicole Cloud connected you, because that is amazing. I have actually spoken to some of the contestants from this recent pageant. They're amazing girls. They have awesome platforms. But how did this position differ during the times of COVID? I know that the pageant had to be, was it virtual?
It was. Girl, let me tell you, this, I had to speak to my attorney, and he was like, look, he said, this is some new law, and you have to be really careful, even some of these different contracts that people are coming up with, because I sent him over the contract that I created. It's like, I don't know if this would hold up in court. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you have to watch, you have to make sure that you are watching yourself as well, having your own back. With all of this stuff, especially when it comes to these different legalities, because even just from a state standpoint, from a nationwide standpoint, there are not enough liabilities set in place so that we aren't liable for different things. So I'm really careful the way that I move as far as the director with the pageant, careful the way that I move just the day-to-day people, and even who you choose, you know, to have as a client. There was a photo shoot that was, I think it was in April or May. I did not feel comfortable with doing it. And yeah, she did have to book some different people for hair and makeup. And I was fine with that.
Right.
Because it's just like, this is a lot. And I want to make sure my customers are safe, my clients are safe. I have to make sure I'm safe. I have a daughter. I have a, you know, mom, I have a family. And, you know, you definitely have to move different. You would be crazy not to. But, you know, I still service clients. You know, I have my face mask. I have my shield. I have eye goggles. I have gloves if they want me to wear gloves. You know, you double sanitizing. We're making sure everything is covered and clean. And to be honest, I don't like to feel like I'm being rude, but I'll tell me with my own bottle of Lysol just to ask, would you mind if I sprayed, you know, for myself as well as you, you know? We don't know what's in the air. Hey, you know, so just go in there, a couple little squirts, and, you know, I even want to know, like, ahead of time, so what look are we going for? You know, just go ahead and send me a picture ahead of time, because we don't need to be doing all that talk. You know, I'm real close to your face. And right. We don't have all the masks, you know. So it's like, this is not time for you. You know, that small talk is like, let's put on, like, Spotify, put on a playlist. Or, you know, let's just kind of jazz out. Or let's just kind of, you know, kind of zone out to the music. Because, again, this is time to stay safe. So, yeah, it's definitely taken a toll. And it's been a lot of stuff that I have turned down. It's been a lot. It's been a lot, but it's getting better now. Things are definitely getting better. You're feeling a little bit more comfortable, but you still have to be very, very alert, very mindful.
Right. And I just want to thank you for just putting an emphasis on, you know, that you make sure everything is double sanitized, that you have your Lysol, your face mask, because it's people out here that are still thinking that, you know, since everything's opened up in Georgia, then, hey, we can go outside. We don't have to wear a face mask. And this COVID, Miss Rona is not going anywhere. She's still very much here. So I'm glad that you are definitely taking this serious.
I think the word even speaks, it's a verse in the Bible that even speaks on going to your house, close the door, close the window until the plague passes over.
Yes.
So, you know, you take it with it. I'm not trying to offend nobody. I'm definitely biblical and very spiritual, but not more so religious, but definitely spiritual. And I definitely believe in that word. And
yes.
I mean, take it how you want to take it. You know, obviously you're not going to be locked up in the house every single day now. I mean, this stuff, we've been pretty much locked up in the house since January and things are opening up. But go do what you need to do, be responsible, and then just take your behind back to your house, because there's no reason to be all out and about. You know, I see people celebrating their birthday, doing it big. I remember one of my homegirls, she reached out to me and was like, we're going to club so-and-so, and would you like to come? And it's like, girl, I appreciate you inviting me, but y'all better than me. Like, y'all real bold. Like, are you serious? And it's like, I'm looking at these videos, some of these Snapchat videos. They all in the club, they dancing, no mask. Obviously, you're not going to have a mask on in the club. You know, you got your drink. You know, you're doing this, you're doing that. And it's just like, wow, this is just really not the time. You
right.
know, you got to go to Panama City, you got to go to Florida. You ain't got on no mask. You ain't social distancing. You know, y'all got the Airbnb. Y'all turning up. This is not the time. It's just very irresponsible. As a mother, I think that's irresponsible if you have children. I think that's irresponsible if you have, you know, a husband or a mate that you're coming home to. I think that's irresponsible when it comes down to the different people that, you know, that you work with on a day-to-day basis. It's irresponsible.
Yes.
Period. And so I'm just not, like, my daughter's birthday is coming up in November. So I'm trying to think, what can I do? Because let me tell you, my daughter has an old soul. She'll be 15 this coming November. And I even tried to get, I said, well, sweetie, let's do something this summer, right before we go back to school, where we can still kind of social distance, but let's just kind of get you out the house so it can be a little bit more like a vacation. Let's do something.
Right.
Let's go to maybe like, let's go to Panama City. Let's do something like that. And if we can get like a hotel room, and, you know, it can be a real nice room. It can be real comfortable. And then we can kind of go out to the beach And, oh, Mom, this is not the time. Oh, Mom, I just don't want to go on the beach right now. And, you know, like, she's so mindful from watching, like, the news and social media and everything. And she, I'm just like, absolutely no. Oh, my, and see, like, I don't want, even want to frighten her. Even, like, if I take her, because you can go to the beach social distance, just don't be all on top of people. Get right. away from people. It's a way to do all of this. If you go to a hotel, have your mask on when you walk into the lobby. When you go into the elevator, use your key or whatever else to press the numbers. You know, open the door handle up with the plastic bag. It's just about being mindful. We can still do things. Just don't be irresponsible. But this girl is like, no, ma'am. She loves hibachi. So I'm thinking about getting a chef to come to the house. Of course, they're going to be masked up. Like I seen a friend of mine do. Look, instead of us going to like the Taki Steakhouse or Benihana, having the chef come to the house, you know, prepare the meal, have the dining room set up for like her birthday. She loves like balloons and, you know, she's definitely like a big kid at heart. So some balloons and stuff in there and just make it look really fun and festive. You know, it's your day. Birthday's November 10th. So, and I think it's on during a weekday. So, let them come over, real nice dinner, have a nice little cake for her, and of course, you know, whatever gift. She's just so modest and nice and sweet. She just makes, you know, life so easy for me. So, that's my only one right now. So, everything I do for her. And she sees what I'm doing out here as an entrepreneur as well, you know. And I'm like, okay. Like, sometimes I'm rushing because someone might call me last minute. Pretty girl, will you go and put my, my bag in the car, will you put my makeup kit in the car? Yes, ma'am. Get my keys, run out there, put everything in there, and I don't have to do nothing but just pretty much leave. Okay, mommy, see you later. And she's not on all my social media. She don't need to be on all of them, but she is on my makeup. Oh, my God. Look, she's on my makeup page. And, you know, like, I put stuff in my story and stuff, and, you know, and she sees me doing this. And those images, you know, go a long way. And those kids see that stuff and they remember it, just like they remember that stupid WAP and all this other crap that's out here. So what images and what, you know, wordplay are you putting in front of your kids? Because it's gonna be a direct effect. Even if you think it's not affecting them, it's affecting them. So she's gonna know, like, you know, she's so smart. And we talk about med school and going to Duke and all these great things. But guess what? If she one day says that, you know what, Mom, I wanna be a chef, or, you know, she's into like these video edits and things. You know, obviously she had that probably that creative bug for me. My mom is also pretty creative too. Right. You know, and Mom, I want to be a chef. Well, let's be the best chef that you could possibly be, and let's go to culinary arts school. I'm not going to be pushing her to do anything she doesn't want to do, because life is too short. You have to find what it is that you love to do. It's not about working hard. It's about working smarter. And when you can wake up every day and do what you love to do, you're going to be successful, and people are going to love you for what you do, and the money's going to come. I'm not chasing the check. I don't chase the bag. We get into alignment. And once you're in alignment, everything just falls in place. Things are just on your path. That's why you got some people, they working so hard. They don't seem like they can ever still get anything. And then you have other people don't seem like they're doing too much of anything, and the stuff is falling out the sky. It's just all about that alignment. And being in alignment and money is just like something I was listening to earlier, and it made a lot of sense. Your money and the money that you make and the money that you have and the money that's going to come is all a direct reflection of your physical health, your mental health, how you feel about money, what you think about money, and just your energy, because money is energy, period. So I don't know. You have to change the way you look at money, because sometimes in the beginning when I was first starting out, I wasn't making a lot of money. I was even like working for free. Like, you have to show people what you can do, and you have to find different photographers that believe in you. Some of them are up and coming. Some of them may have been working a little bit longer than others, but see something in you to say, okay, well, let's start taking these, you know, these different pictures, or let's start doing these photo shoots with these different models.
Right.
And it's putting you out there. It's putting your work out there. It's giving you that practice. And I'll say one of the photographers, I'll definitely give him a shout out. Gino Uche. Okay. Gino is the bomb. GenoUche. Yes. And he is a twin. Well, he's married now, but just very attractive, very humble, you know, just loving inside and out, just an overall great guy. He really like gave me my start when I said that I wanted to do this, because I kind of started a little bit later than some of these girls. I look at some of these girls out here, especially on these different social media platforms, they're like 19, 20 years old. So just imagine they stick with it and they're doing their 30s and 40s. And then I look at some of these people, they're in their 50s and 60s and just finally becoming part of like, what do you call it? Like the little local, you know, being a part of, I can't even think of the name of it.
Like an influencer?
Not the influencers, but once you become a part of, it's the local something. I think it's like the IATSE, but you're a part of like a union.
You're
part of those unions, you know, because you have to have so many hours here doing this, so much experience doing that just to be a part of that union. And then you have to be a part of the union just to get into some of those like big time, get some of those big time production companies, some of those big movies and different things like that. But it takes people years. You know, these people are 50, 60 years old. And I think to myself, like, I'm 36. And I just think I still have such a bright future. I just started late. But a spiritual advisor told me in my early 30s that she said, your career is going to pick up in your late 30s. So somebody knew what they were talking about.
That's right. She definitely called it.
Yes, ma'am. Look, I'm on my way.
And what other ventures do you have in the works?
Say that one more time.
What other ventures do you have in the works?
Well, I am working on my company is Allure Beauty.
Right.
And definitely not associated with Allure Beauty Box, Allure Magazine. This is just strictly Allure Beauty. And when I finally come up with a, like, I guess, brick and mortar, if you will, an actual storefront, it will be Allure House of Beauty Atlanta. At one point, it was going to be Charlotte, so I thought I was going to be moving to Charlotte. But we just all say Allure House of Beauty Atlanta. But I definitely have some great ideas and some big dreams. I've had my business plan for years as far as that. But now I pretty much... I work out of a studio that I have, as well as, again, just on set, or I just go right to my client. But Allure Beauty is that umbrella. And then up underneath that, you know, that's where I have, obviously, like some of my other businesses. But what I do have going on, which will be getting started towards the end of the year, is my lipstick line that I'm working on. And I'm working on some signature colors, and I just want just the whole formulation of the product just to be perfect. And Glow Beauty Cosmetics. So
that sounds amazing.
Once that's actually up and running, I'll be really like promoting it big time. And I do have my own line of hair and lashes and edge control. And that website is thebeautyconnoisseurs.com. And, you know, I have the virgin hair on there, really good hair. No matting, no tangling, no shedding. Lasts up to 2 years, ships internationally. So some really good hair. Got the lace front unit, got the lace wig. Got the 3D mink lashes. You know, got the edge control in clear and in black and in clear. You know, just depends on what you like, so. I have that going on. It's pretty much just out there. I don't push it like I need to. But, hey, I've always seen myself being dual licensed, because that's one thing that I noticed I did not say on here. I am a licensed esthetician. I always thought that it was very important to be licensed in my profession. So I wanted to know the skin inside and out. So I'm able to just kind of perform a quick skin analysis to understand what I'm working with before I even go in with the makeup.
Right.
You know, so I am licensed as an esthetician. I do want to get my cosmetology license. So I was going to start this year. Again, delayed but not denied because of what's going on.
That's right.
And I just don't see how I just can't see me in here learning how to do different things with that mask on. I don't want to wear that mask all day like that. Like, I can't do that kind of thing like that. I'm like, look, when this stuff passes over, look, and stuff starts to get a little bit better, then we can kind of you know, look back in that direction. In the meantime, let's just focus on different things we can do. We all know that, you know, these e-commerce sites are, you know, on the rise. They're booming. So you put it online, you know, you're going to be good. I'm going to find that right celebrity, that right person that's going to put that lipstick on, going to put it on their Instagram, and boom. I can already see it because that's all it comes down to. It just comes down to the right marketing. And obviously, I'm going to be using it on my own clients, and then I'll be promoting myself. But it just comes to finding that person with the right platform, and baby, it will take off. So we on the way.
That's right.
Mm-hmm, we on the way. So I am working on that line, and I'll tell you more about that once that's actually something that's in fruition, you know, like it's live. And I hate just talking about stuff, but I am working on it.
No, I mean, everything sounds amazing. Your plan sounds amazing. You have a plan. That's the first start. That's the first step to any passion and any venture. So that's all that matters. And I want to thank you for joining us today, me and my listeners. And please, before we go, tell everyone where they can follow you on social media and or book you for special events.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Imani. Well, just keeping it real simple, you can find me on Facebook as well as Instagram, Dionne Ford Makeup. Whether you type in the hashtag, whether you just type it in to the name slot up there, search Dionne, D-I-O-N-N-E, F-O-R-D, Makeup. Hey, if you want to read some of my reviews, I'm 5 stars across the internet. Feel free to Google me, honey. I am out there. I'm proud of my work. I'm proud of what I've done and what I do. As far as booking, you can book me directly. You can call me at 404-662-3180. You can email me at DionneFordMakeup@gmail.com, or you can also find me on Acuity Scheduling, and that link is DionneFordMakeup.as.me.com. So, pretty much it. And always looking to work with new clients, new businesses, new corporations. Love working with small businesses. I love my brides. I love my bridal clients. I love putting together that magic. And hey, if you just want a simple night out on the town, you know what I mean? If you want to do a one-on-one class to learn how to do a day look and something that can transform into night. One thing, when I think about myself and what I stand for as far as just my technique, it's all about clean, natural makeup, subtle contours. I'm all about emphasizing your beauty and diminishing whatever needs to be diminished. We are not all about all that heavy makeup, but my makeup does last the full day. That was the first text message that I received from one of my celebrity clients when I did their makeup for the first time. This girl texted me. I still have the text message. 4 a.m. that morning, she had went to one of Dallas Austin Christmas parties, like an ugly sweater party. She was like, girl, it is 3:30 a.m. and this makeup is still good. So I'm all about that. I'm all about that long wear makeup that doesn't settle into the crepes and wrinkles of your skin. I'm all about just really bringing that beauty forth, you know, and making you shine. So that's me, Dionne Ford Makeup.
Well, that's amazing, Dionne. Thank you so much for joining us, and I am definitely looking forward to seeing your empire grow.
Thank you so much, Imani. I appreciate you, and likewise.
Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning into another episode. This episode was brought to you by Popple. Popple is the digital business card that everyone needs. With a simple tap, your friends or business partner can instantly have access to all your social media accounts, music accounts, and payment platforms. Make sure to use code AmonMag for 20% off your first purchase. As always, for more news and information like this, make sure to check out AmonMagazine.com. See you next week.